Today we are finishing Paul's letter to the Galatians. Our sermon text will be Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18. Galatians 6, verse 11 through 18. As we've been going through this book, we have been noticing the grace of God poured out upon his people. What a wonderful reminder this letter is to his churches throughout the ages, that we are saved by the mercy, by the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we do not have to work to get God to love us. He has poured his love out upon us by his own pleasure and will. And we praise him for that. And so as we prepare to hear our last sermon of this series in Galatians, let us come before the Lord in prayer before reading his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this letter to the Galatians. Certainly, when the Apostle Paul penned these words, he was probably not thinking that 2,000 years later, a group of people would be meeting in a continent he didn't even know existed, reading these words and praising God for their great salvation. God, you have taken the wickedness of the false teachers of Galatia and turned it around to use it for our benefit. Only a great God can do such marvelous, miraculous things. We praise you. We praise you for that. We ask now that your Spirit would guide us as we study and read your word, that it would be applied to our life so that we might honor you, so that we might advance your kingdom and gospel in this world where you have placed us today. Lord, we also pray today for our brother Jake Sussick, as he preaches at another church, and ask that you would be with him, bringing the gospel of Christ to the ears of those that hear. But now, here at Grace and Peace, grant us your mercy by teaching us your word through your Spirit. Look past the inadequacies of your servant and be gracious to your people, opening our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. Paul is writing here at the end, and he says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they might not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God remains forever." I suppose that most parents desire to impart some words of wisdom or encouragement to their children as they send them off to college or maybe the military. Maybe they want to give them something that to hold on to, something that's really memorable for them. Maybe that was the frame of mind I was in last August when I dropped Daniel off at college down in Virginia. We were having lunch together before I left to come home, and I was thinking about him going to a Christian school whose theology was probably not Reformed. And as we were reading, I looked up at him and I said, "Daniel, I want to tell you something. You're going to hear a lot of different theological ideas down here, but you just remember, you're a Calvinist." And then I added, "And in case you're wondering what that means, there's a copy of the Shorter Catechism in your car." Well, we leave people with the things we think are important. And sometimes it's a good thing to leave them with what we think is most important. And that's what we have here in our last section of Paul's letter to the Galatians. And so as we examine what he has to say, let us do so keeping this main thought in mind. Since it is through the cross of Christ that God's people receive new life, peace, mercy, and grace, make the sacrifice of Jesus your greatest treasure. Since it is through the cross of Christ that God's people receive new life, peace, mercy, and grace, make the sacrifice of Jesus your greatest treasure. So Paul comes now to the close of this letter, and he wants to leave the Galatians with what is most important. Look again at verse 11. "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." Now, it's often explained that the reason Paul was writing with large letters is because he had problems with his eyesight. People reference Galatians chapter 4, verse 15 about that, where Paul says to the Galatians that he knows that they would have given him even their eyes if that were necessary. And this idea that Paul had poor eyesight, that's why he was writing with large letters, goes all the way back to St. Jerome, who translated the Bible into Latin back in the 400s. But it's more common today to actually understand that what Paul is saying, the reason he's using large letters, is that he's trying to highlight or underscore what he wants these people to know. Up to this point, then, Paul's letter was being written by an assistant as he dictated it. And now here he takes the pen from the assistant and he begins to write the ending, the conclusion to these beloved Galatians. And what he's doing here then is he's giving them a summary here in these verses. He's giving them the main idea of what he's been saying all along in this letter to them. So he's essentially saying, here's what I want you to remember. Here's the main thing. This is what's really important, you Galatians. Now you might notice that I do something like this in our sermons. I just did it. I do it in the beginning and I do it at the end. I give you the main point. Well, Paul actually begins this letter with a similar idea to what he's ending it with. And what is so important in Paul's mind? Well, he begins describing to the Galatians the problem with those who rely on outward forms of religion. Look at verses 12 through 13. He says, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." So Paul turns his attention now back to the Judaizers, the false teachers who've been troubling the Galatian churches all along. And he's been dealing with these men throughout the entire letter, if you remember. They're men who put great stock in their religious practices, great stock in the things that they did to impress God. Paul describes them as wanting to make a good showing in the flesh. Jesus dealt with these kind of people. They were the Pharisees of Jesus' day. He called them actors, hypocrites. That's the word, actor in the Greek. They were people that were putting on a big show. In Galatia, they were the Jews who were professing Christ, but they were adding works to the law. So that, yes, Christ was important, but you had to have your own set of works in order to be accepted by God. It wasn't enough either in their mind to simply appease God with your own works. No, no. They insisted that the Galatians do so as well. They insisted the Galatians do so well. In their theology, in the theology of these Judaizers, the Galatian believers had to become Jews. And how did they do that? Through circumcision. And why? Well, notice at the end of verse 13, Paul says they wanted to boast in the Galatians, in their flesh. In other words, they took pride in gathering a following for Judaism. Every circumcised Gentile convert was another notch on their Jewish belt. Not only that, but as long as they pressed the Galatians to follow the law of circumcision, they didn't have to worry then about persecution for their faith. You know, we often think that it was the Romans who first began to persecute the church. But if you read the New Testament, you see the first persecutors of the church were the Jewish people themselves. But as long as these false teachers could claim that they were proselytizing for Judaism, they didn't have to worry. But you know, they did have to worry. Because in effect, what they were doing is they were betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. By adding works to salvation, they were erasing the cross from the gospel. They were erasing the cross. Brothers and sisters, you know as well as I do that without the cross, we have no gospel. We have no good news. But Paul clearly saw the bankruptcy of this kind of theology. They were relying on the law. They were relying specifically on the law of circumcision for their salvation. But like everyone else, they had a big problem. They might be circumcised, but they could not keep the entire law of God. It was simply not possible. All 300 and some commandments, they were going to break something somewhere along the line. And so their whole religious practice was an act. It was a sham. It was counterfeit Christianity. It was a gospel that was no gospel. They boasted in their converts, but the gospel they preached was powerless to do anything for these people. So their converts were stillborn. They were left in their sin. You know something, that still goes on in the church today, sadly to say. When churches care more about numbers than about truth and doctrine, when churches preach social justice rather than the cross, when people replace the cross with their Reformed traditions, it goes on any time you add to the cross as a means of salvation. Whatever your highest priority is, whatever you boast in, whatever you glory in before the throne of God, that is what you are depending on for your salvation. What's most important for Paul is to turn his reader's attention to the Christian's singular boast, our singular boast. Look at verses 14 and 15. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. So look how Paul starts out here. May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus. Now when Paul speaks of boasting, he's not talking about bragging. What he means here is, what do I bask in? What do I glory in? In other words, may I never depend on anything but the cross of Jesus Christ. In the context of Galatians, he's talking about believing or trusting in something. But it's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ that he trusts in. It's the cross. But notice, it's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes the cross something you can depend on, something you can trust in, is the Lord who died on it. It's not simply a cross. There were thousands of people crucified in the Roman Empire. But this one cross was important because of who was on it. You see, we are powerless to do by our own works that which only the Lord Jesus Christ can do for us on the cross and has done on the cross. When we believe on Christ as our Lord, we then are crucified to the world and the world to us. In other words, we part ways with the world. We go our separate ways. Rather than following the world now, we are following Christ. And so the world holds nothing for us any longer if our trust is in the Christ of the cross. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't live and work and breathe and enjoy the things of this world. We haven't stepped off of planet Earth. What it means is we're no longer controlled by the world. It doesn't pull our strings like the grand puppeteer. And this includes the way we approach God. It's a contrast between those who seek God through religion and those who do so because Christ has changed their heart. That's what Paul's getting at. He's contrasting these two things. That's why neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, he says. What matters is this, brothers and sisters. Here's the point. Are you born again? Are you born again? In other words, are you a new creation? Has Christ died for you so that your sins are forgiven? Has the Holy Spirit begun an inward work of regeneration and sanctification? And if that is you, then the old has passed away and the new has come. You've been given a new heart, new desire. Have a new status as a child of God. And that's your glory. That's your boast. That's what you bask in this life. Not because you've done it yourself, but because Christ has done it for you. Do you see here, Paul isn't just talking about himself. For all Christians, this, what he speaks, is the rule of life. It is the rule of life. Look at verse 16. And for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. You see, the Judaizers, these false teachers, they measure their spiritual health by how well they kept the Old Testament law. God was happy with them if they were good that week. They measured their spiritual health by their circumcision, by eating the right foods, by keeping special holy days, feast days. Paul says the Christian rule is different. We walk by a different standard. You don't measure your relationship with God by how well you work. God forbid. Because you know what that does? That simply makes God your debtor. You're punching a cosmic time clock, and God is indebted to give you a payment at the end of the day. No, you measure your relationship with God by what Christ has done for you. What has Christ done for you? That's why Paul can say in Philippians chapter 3, I count everything rubbish, that I might gain Christ, not having my own righteousness that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. And when Christ makes you right with God, notice the blessings that we see in our text. There's peace and there's mercy. When you walk by faith in Christ rather than by works of the law, brothers and sisters, know this. God is not angry with you. That's good news. If you take nothing away from Galatians, if you're a believer, take this away. God is not angry with you because of Christ. You have peace and you have mercy. Furthermore, you are part of the family, part of a family that stretches all the way back to Abraham. You belong to the Israel of God. This is just another way of saying you belong to the church. Belong to the people of God. And yet, although there is peace with God, we live in a world, and the world is different. The world is different. We should understand that. The world of which we speak is a world that we were crucified to when we came to believe in Jesus Christ. The world to which we were cut off because we belong to Christ. As the old song says, this world is not a friend of grace to lead me on to God. No, it doesn't. It leads us away from God. But we've been cut off from that world. We look all around us. We look at the different nations. We look at China, North Korea. We look at our own nation where things seem to be falling apart all around us when it comes to moral standards, when it comes to faith and guidance of God. And you know what we can expect then in this world? Brothers and sisters, we can expect suffering for the cross. We can expect it. We don't want it. We should expect it. Look at verses 17 through 18. Paul says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. You see, people were causing Paul trouble. Let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. See, the Judaizers had watered down the gospel in order to avoid persecution. Paul, on the other hand, continued to be faithful, and he had the scars and the wounds to show for it. He bore on his body the marks of a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, let all the naysayers cease and desist. Let the Galatians give no further credence to the words of the false teachers. Three times Paul was beaten with rods, once stoned and thrown in prison. This was Paul's badge of authority. This was the proof that Paul was preaching the gospel of the cross. No longer the gospel of circumcision, no longer what people wanted to hear. And brothers and sisters, don't be surprised then when you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ face similar troubles. When family desert you, when friends don't understand you, when you face ridicule and lies and slander in the world. This is how the world treated Jesus, and Jesus warns us. This is how they will treat his followers. But in Christ Jesus, you belong to a band of brothers. You belong to a new family. As we noted earlier, Paul is ending as he started. In fact, he's ending with the constant theme of this book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It's by grace through Christ that you belong to God and are brothers with Christ. It's by that same grace that we belong to one another. So Paul leaves the Galatians with what's most important. He left them with the theology of the cross, a theology that teaches us, since it is through the cross of Christ that God's people receive new life, peace, mercy, and grace. Make the sacrifice of Jesus your greatest treasure. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world that pulls and tugs at our heartstrings to go in different directions. Make the sacrifice of Christ your greatest treasure, for in Christ we have mercy and peace. In Christ we have new life. And in Christ what awaits us is an eternal inheritance that was promised to Abraham and which is still ours today through faith in our Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for all he has given us on the cross. Lord God, we pray that as we live in this world and as we enjoy the many blessings you give us day in and day out, we nevertheless would have our minds and our hearts stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would indeed would live our lives in this world as though only God matters. And we pray that in doing so, we would be filled with the joy of the Lord Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.